You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
If you walked by the new Mount Pleasant Community Center this past week, chances are that you noticed the captivating photo images on the ground floor windows. And as you passed, you also probably observed that some windows display the photo image while others are transparent, like a portal to the inside. If you stayed for more than 6 minutes, you perhaps saw the photo image change. This is Vancouver's first permanent media art installation, and it is entitled Flow. Fiona Bowie is the lead artist for the project, and Morgan Hibbert is an engineering physics student at UBC who provided technical support. Both Fiona and Morgan join us in the studio today to take us behind the scenes of Flow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, Fiona, tell us, what inspired you to do this work?
Well, I usually work in photography, video, and film, so the medium is quite familiar to me. And I've always been interested in time-based media and time-based work and notions of time and our consciousness and how we understand time. And I was working on a project a couple of years before that and really playing with notions of the image and the veracity of the image and what constitutes one understanding what an image is. And I just wanted to start playing with images disappearing and also images being barely there, that they were sort of tenuous, that their existence was somewhat tenuous. And I came up with the basic notion of this idea, which is an ever-evolving scene. So there's main characters that appear more often than others, and they're always implicated in the scene that they're in. And while they're still photography, they're captured as if in some sort of dialogue or discourse with each other.
Now, you use 1,300 photos in Flow. Can you tell us a little about them?
I was shooting portraiture, of course. What we did is we shot them against blue screen so that we could then mix and match different individuals according to their dynamic together. So after the photo sessions, I would look through the images and just consider which individuals looked as though they were engaged in some sort of conversation with each other. And then with Morgan's and Sydney's help, we wrote code so that they would actually show up together.
So these are all pictures of individual people?
Individual people. And then the backgrounds, the landscapes against which they're set, are by and large landscapes that are in a state of transition. So rather than being, your average streetscape or wild landscape, they're raised lands, they're lands that have been cleared, that have been leveled, waiting for new builds. So they're things that have sort of had their history erased, but yet they haven't become anything else yet. So they're definitely landscapes that are in a state of transition from one thing to another.
Stark background?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say they're stark. They're very varied. there's a lot of variety in terms of what the landscapes look like and what their color is like. But they're mostly these sort of liminal spaces that are neither here nor there yet.
Now, there aren't always photo images displayed on the windows. Tell us about the schedule of the projectors.
Right. So the images appear very, very early in the morning. They start at about 5 a.m. and they go until about 10. And at that point in time, the light becomes such that the images start to disappear. And what happens instead is that the glass, which is a huge conceptual part of the piece in terms of images disappearing, because the glass is engaged when the images are active as well. But during the day, the glass becomes the main focus, and it allows portals both into the building, but also for people inside the building. It gives them viewing portals out, so that what happens is that little details of the landscape are kind of framed by one or more windows that become clear.
So it's always changing.
It's always changing. Yeah, it's always in a state of flux.
And you don't always control what's going to appear on the windows.
Right. Well, we don't control it necessarily, but we've set up probabilities of when things appear and how they appear. So we've basically created a behavior for the program to follow, and then within that sort of parameter, there's a certain set of chance possibilities where things can occur.
Now, this installation, as we've been discussing, has a heavy technical component. What kind of windows are being used?
Well, it's a material called switch glass, and it's actually something that I came across when I was in school years and years ago and thought it was quite interesting because with the an electronic impulse, it goes from translucent to clear. And I thought, you know, one day there may be an idea that I come up with where this might work very well. And lo and behold, I wanted images to disappear in front of the viewer when they got close to the image. And this was like the perfect material to use.
You tucked it in your brain. And
I did. I put it in my back pocket and waited until it was, you know, something that would make sense conceptually.
Now, there's an online interactive component to your work as well.
That's right. So viewers can go online. We're just setting this up at the moment. But viewers can go online and they can see the piece even during the day when the glass is active. The piece continues to run. And if people see an image that they particularly like, they can capture it and then add dialogue to it. So I've collected dialogue, both text that I've written, but also lyrical content from different bands, including The Residents and The New Pornographers, which the phrases can be mixed and matched with each other. So there's a great sort of scope for surreal dialogue to occur.
The dialogue appears in the windows?
It will appear not in on site. It'll appear on the website. And then once they've chosen the dialogue, they can capture that image, and that image will have that dialogue attached to it. So it's sort of like building a little archive of chance operations that people find interesting.
Morgan, you were brought aboard as a co-op student, and you did a lot of the computer coding for Flow. What did that involve in terms of how the images are displayed?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, what Fiona did is she would have a look at the images and then would write in a text file what these images represent. So this image, for example, might represent a sunny summer day at 4 p.m. And so this image would have this information associated with it. And then using this, the software would then determine what are its current conditions by connecting to the internet and finding out the weather and time of day. And then it would select an image based on the parameters that it's determined for that day and that match with what we've described for the image. And that's how it would start with selecting an image. And then that would be its base layer. And then it would build on that by using another piece of information that we called friends. So certain images would be friends with each other that we said, these look really good together. So from this base layer, it would then look for a friend image. And then it would bring up this friend image, which would be a layer that was usually a person on top. And then this person, they might also have a friend, and then it would slowly build on top of each other until you've got this scene that, with probability, should look aesthetically pleasing, but not one that we've necessarily put together before.
So there's a lot of possibilities there, but they're logically sort of selected.
Yeah, the best way to think about it is that we've given the artificial intelligence some guidelines. We said, here's some guidelines that we want you to follow along, but you know what? You can kind of be your own animal too. You don't have to follow these strictly, but most of the time you should follow within these guidelines.
So you don't necessarily know what it's going to select.
No, and which so is the best part about it.
Have you been surprised by anything which has come up? And
all the time. All the time. There's sequences that come up where you're like, oh, I didn't really expect that, but yeah, that looks good, and it did work. And you get some really interesting things, especially when you start mixing people with animals. There's some beautiful crow shots, and they're looking straight at this person, and it just so happened their directions of their eyes are looking straight at each other, and it just looks amazing.
Now, as an engineer, what was the most challenging aspect of being involved in an art installation?
The most challenging aspect was definitely trying to fully understand Fiona's vision as an artist, and then figure out a way that I can create that using technical abilities without actually doing the art itself. And so trying to fully understand what she wanted and then take that and then think, okay, how can I implement this in a digital world was definitely the most challenging part. We spent a lot of time back and forth working mm-hmm. with each other, reviewing the piece along the stages so that we could get on to the same page. And this past summer was when we really mm-hmm. were on the same level, speaking to each other, that we both understood how it could work. And that's when things really started happening. And it was really mm-hmm. exciting to build through that process of not fully understanding each other and working towards a common understanding.
Was there a lot of, no, that's not exactly what I'm looking for?
Tons. Yeah. Like it would be, Fiona would describe it to me and I'd be like, okay, I think I understand what you want, and I'd go do it. And then I'd show her and she'd be like, not quite. This is more what I was thinking. But then she was able to sort of visually show me, well, I actually want it to do this. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it can't. we'll have to do something very different to make it do that, you know. And so it would constantly evolve so that she could give me what I needed to make happen what she wanted, kind of thing. That was the most challenging but rewarding for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, Fiona, this is mm-hmm. a permanent art installation. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any changes to the work?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have been asking me, are you going to continue to shoot images? And I'm pretty happy with the way it is now, but I'm not adverse to the idea. You know, maybe 2 years down the road, I'll sort of see something that I find interesting, and it's easy enough to take the images and plop them into the library. So who knows? I think that's an open question. Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys, for coming in and talking with us about this fascinating new project.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
We've been speaking with Fiona Bowie, the lead artist of Flow, and Morgan Hibbert, an engineering physics student who provided technical support. Flow is a permanent art media installation on the ground floor window of the new Mount Pleasant Community Center at No. 1 Kingsway. You can also visit online by going to fionabowie.org and following the links to Flow.